Hello, welcome to episode 49 of Born to Thrive with Jamie Lee. I'm your host and coach, Jamie Lee. And this is a replay of a live free coaching webinar that I hosted back in November. And one of my clients joined in on the webinar, and we explored what it means to apply the growth mindset to career strategy, and in service of that, how to embrace the 50-50 emotional balance. So I hope you enjoy this replay and have a wonderful holiday season. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Good morning. My name is Jamie Lee. I work as a leadership and negotiation coach. And I welcome you to Get Bolder, Braver, and Better Paid webinar series. Today is the final installment, and I have a very special guest who will be joining us very shortly. Over the holiday weekend, I was having dinner with friends who came to visit from out of town, and she was seeking some advice about how to make a decision around her career. She has two wonderful opportunities ahead of her, and she didn't know what she should do. And so it seemed like she was struggling with making a decision for her career. And I offered her a piece of advice, which is that, what if you can't be wrong? What if whatever you decide to do with your career, whether you go route A or whether you go route B, what if you can't be wrong? Because ultimately, she doesn't know what that future is going to look like, but once she gets there, she can tell a new story. Say, okay, I've tried A, didn't work out, now it's time to try something different. Maybe from here I go to C, or maybe I go back to B, but you know, you can't know for sure, right? So what if you can't be wrong with the decision that you make? Excuse me, I'll be right back. I'm gonna go grab a cup of tea. So, excuse me. She said that thought that she can't do it wrong, she can't be wrong, gave her a sense of peace. And she felt more calm going into the next stage of her career development. So I know those of us who are joining this call, we want to become bolder, braver, and better paid. What if you can't be wrong in your own journey? Whether you know you get support from a person, a coach like me, whether you join a program or you don't, whether you figure it out on your own. What I want to highlight is that the practice of leading, which I define as creating solutions in the best interest of everyone, and the practice of negotiating, which is to engage in conversation with the intention of reaching agreement. In other words, the practice of communicating to reach mutual decision, right? And also influencing, which is to impact the decision making of others, right? There's always a decision involved in the art of leading, negotiating, and influencing. What if you can't be wrong? Now, when you hear me say that, you might think to yourself, wait, but Jamie, you don't understand. There are people out there who have malicious intent. There are people out there who will trick you. There are people out there who will try to violate your rights. There are people who will try to lie and manipulate to get their way. Now, yeah, that's absolutely, that does happen. But here's what I notice about 99.9% of the people who engage in my services and who attend these workshops and events, we all want to serve. We all want to serve serve others to benefit others. And, you know, hurting other people, violating the rights of other people, tricking other people, lying to other people, manipulating other people to get your own way. I mean, some people might call that negotiation, but ultimately I call that lying, tricking, manipulating, and violating the rights of others. That's really trying to get your own way in one in one-sided. It's not about really engaging others in from a place of service, from a place of creating solutions in the best interest of others. So it's not really leading, in my point of view. That's manipulating, deceiving, and violating the rights of others. That's not how I see leading, negotiating, and influencing so that you can thrive and serve other people. So what if you can't be wrong? Now, also, some people have the idea that, you know, certain people are kind of born with this special talent for leading, negotiating, and influencing other people. I had a coaching session with a woman who told me that she was convinced that certain people, you know, men have a natural privilege. They have a natural born privilege for leading and for influencing. And I had to correct her. I said, I don't believe that. I don't believe that some people are more naturally privileged. I think we have man-made, we have artificial privilege, but it's not natural born privilege. What that shows me is that some people have a fixed mindset around what it means to be a leader, a negotiator, and an influencer. That some people just have it and some people don't. What do you think? When you think about you stepping up to that role of leading, negotiating, and influencing other people, do you have the mindset that you either got it or you don't? Or do you see it as a capacity, as a skill that you can learn, that you can develop, that you can foster over time with practice, on purpose, with intention? I've been reading this fabulous book called Mindset by Carol Dweck. Highly recommend it. And in the back, the very last section of the book, she has this great diagram. There you go. Of how the fixed mindset is different from the growth mindset. And the fixed mindset believes that intelligence, that skill, that capacity is static. You either got it or you don't. And people with this mindset, they want to look smart. They want to look smart. They want to look like they have it. And so what they do is that when they encounter challenges, they avoid them because they don't want to risk looking like they don't have that, you know, static, that special talent. And when they encounter obstacles, they get defensive or they give up easily. When it requires effort to gain something or to achieve a goal, they see effort as fruitless or something worse. And when they encounter criticism, they ignore useful or negative feedback because it means that that they don't have it, right? And if they don't have it, that this threatens their sense of identity. And when they see other people succeed, they feel threatened by the success of others. They compare themselves to others. And as a result, they may plateau early and achieve less than their full potential. And for me, when I read this out loud, I realize that I want to have a growth mindset about all aspects of my life, but I realize there are certain places in my life where I do have this fixed mindset and I don't want to encounter criticism. I feel threatened by obstacles and challenges. Yeah. How about you? Whereas growth mindset, people with a growth mindset, they feel that intelligence, special skills, capacity can be developed. And today, you know, we're going to be talking about how do you apply that to your skills for leading, negotiating, influencing, for having a fulfilling career. And when you have a growth mindset, it leads to a desire to learn and to therefore a tendency to embrace challenges. When things get hard, you run towards them, not away from them. And persist in the face of setbacks. When things don't go your way, you don't give up. You continue to persist. And you see effort as a path to mastery. You have to continue to giving effort, to putting in the effort, to, you know, adjust your brain and gain mastery, because it takes time and effort. And you learn from obstacles. You don't ignore obstacles or criticisms. And finally, when you see other people succeed, you find lessons and inspiration in the success of others. So as a result, they reach an ever higher level of achievement. So that said, I've been working on this mindset, applying this mindset with one of my my clients, and I'd like to invite my client as a panelist to this discussion and find out what that journey has been for my client. Ying, are you ready? All right, I am going to promote you to panelist. Hi, Ying, how are you? Okay, you're on mute.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing awesome. So, would you please introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about who you are.
Okay, sounds good. So, hi guys. My name is Yang Vang, and I am a naturalized Hmong American citizen, and I'm 30 years old. I was born in Thailand, where I spent the first 8 years of my life. And currently I live in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where all my family members live. And I have a bachelor's degree in psychology and a master's degree in leadership and change. And I graduated recently in August. And I'm passionate about online business and digital marketing. So yes.
Excellent. All right. So would you mind sharing with us what you're working towards with coaching?
I am working towards getting a job, or as you said earlier, a fulfilling career. Mm-hmm. And because I am done with school now, and as I was going through that process, I realized, and I actually have to admit to myself, that I don't know how to get it started. And that I can't do it all on my own, that I can't have this fulfilling career on my own. I don't know how to do it. And then I'm also working on building confidence and negotiating skills.
Beautiful. And the commonality that my clients have is that they're all working towards a compelling vision that drives them forward to grow and develop their skills. So what is your compelling vision that motivates you to grow as a person and a professional?
So yes, this was in our coaching session. It was so it made me feel so great when you asked me these questions to open my mind to really see what my capillary vision is. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to admit at first, but thank you for the coaching. And so now I can really admit that my compelling vision is to be financially free, to have financial freedom, and to really go toward my passion of making a positive difference in the world. Mm-hmm. And I want to be financially free so I can support my family, like my parents, in whatever they want in life. And to be able to leave this world with a positive impact in where people could express and be free to be themselves in any way they want.
Beautiful, beautiful. So what's been the biggest insight so far for you that you've gained through coaching?
Oh man, there's just so many. I feel like I forgot who I was in the first time when I met you up to now. But the biggest insight for me will be that I can create any feelings that serves me in any circumstance that I'm in. Mm. And I am accomplished, mm-hmm. and that I am in charge. I get to choose what life and career I want, and I don't have to worry about how people judge me and what they're thinking about. And I'm just really being me.
Beautiful. So how are you creating the emotion that you want?
Like you said, I've been, like you were teaching me that I am not, that my mind is not in charge of me. I'm in charge of my mind. Mm-hmm. So this morning I woke up and I was kind of nervous about being here.
Yeah.
And we talked a lot about creating emotions, and I say, okay, what emotion do I want? What kind of feelings do I want to have this morning in this conversation? And I thought about appreciation, gratitude, and then I just said a couple things. I made a list out loud, spoke out loud about what I'm grateful for this morning with this opportunity and what I appreciate about this opportunity. And it's, even though I might still feel the emotions of nervousness, but because I'm having that feeling of gratitude in the morning and as it starts, I'm just like really happy now. So yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. So, we've been coaching for a bit about, the five things, right? There are neutral circumstances, mm-hmm. and then you have a thought about it, which you are in control of. And so that's mm-hmm. exactly what you did. You said, oh, okay. So there's a circumstance in my life where I have to show up to this webinar, and I can choose to have the thought that creates the feeling of appreciation. Mm-hmm. Right? Because yeah. thoughts create feelings, and yeah. it's the feelings that drive your actions. And I see that, you know, you created appreciation for yourself and you were able to show up on time, smiling,
yes,
confident and calm.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And the result we have is that, yeah, you're creating a really powerful example for people who are watching or who will watch this mm-hmm. later on. So I thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I thought this would be a really great opportunity for us to continue our conversation from last week. Yeah. So last week we talked about the stages that you are going through in mm-hmm. your career, you know, in your mm-hmm. career development.
Yes.
And we identified five stages, right? Mm-hmm. Where you are now.
Yes.
Networking, applying, practicing interviewing, and then the final stage, which is accepting a job offer.
Yes.
And because it's emotion that drives our action, and mm-hmm. you want to show up in the best way possible, we worked on identifying those key emotions tied to those specific stages.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So what's been, since we had that discussion, mm-hmm. you know, what's been your insight on that so far?
Honestly, I've just been really appreciating the process now.
Okay.
Instead of being so stressed about it, instead of worrying so much about like, oh, am I making the right decision? Am I doing the right thing every day? And I'm supposed to be doing more of this, like, pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm just really appreciating the process. And every time I achieve something,
mm-hmm.
So right now I'm at a stage where I'm practicing doing mock interviews, practicing my answering my questions, and then really networking as well too. So getting to know people, to discover who they are, and just reach out to them and being calm about that. Versus before I reach out to them, I will be thinking, oh my gosh, what if they say no? What if they don't reply back? There's really no point in doing this. Like, I just don't think I can reach out to them. So now it's like, okay, I'm going to reach out to them, and whatever happens is happened. And I appreciate the action that I took, and I appreciate their response to me.
Mm.
So I'm at that stage where I'm practicing interview skills. I'm practicing my, my answers, and I'm practicing appreciating when I reach out to the people that I want to network with.
Nice.
So yes.
So what's the thought that drives you to appreciate?
The thought that drives me to appreciate is this is all a learning, like a learning curve, like you said, a learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
And a learning curve, and it's for me to see what I can do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what are you seeing that you can do?
That if I want something,
mm-hmm.
all I have to do is just take the action.
Mm.
Yeah. I used to make things really complicated.
Mm-hmm.
and you're like, yeah, just make it really simple. I know you said it in a nice way, which I really appreciate.
Okay.
But, it allowed me to really cut off the way I see the conversation that I'm going to have with this person. Like before I have a conversation with them, I'm making it so complicated that I can't even have a conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So what is the emotion that that you have when you have the thought that mm-hmm. I'm here to learn?
Mm-hmm. The emotion is, I would say, calm,
mm-hmm.
focus, and content.
Okay. Right. So as a result of you appreciating every stage of your process from that place of calm,
mm-hmm.
What is the result you're creating for yourself right now?
So right now the result is that I don't have a job yet,
mm-hmm.
but I am in the process of, I have a business partner,
mm-hmm.
And we're developing our digital marketing business,
mm-hmm.
and I'm also in conversations with potential employers,
mm-hmm.
and I am getting more, I am getting closer and closer, clearer and clearer to what I really want in life.
Mm.
And I'm at a point where people's judgments don't affect me as much.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm clear on what I want in conversations with people. So those are the results I'm getting.
So what I'm hearing is that in your job search, you mm-hmm. have the thought that I'm here to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought that I'm here to learn is creating emotions of calm, focus,
mm-hmm.
and also you are appreciating every stage of the process, and therefore you are getting clearer on what it is that you truly want. And so the thought is helping to create the result of you getting closer to clarity.
Yes, yes.
Excuse me. Just gonna... So what if you and I went to the end result,
mm-hmm.
the ultimate end result,
mm-hmm.
What could that look like?
All right. So the ultimate end result will be that my friend and I, my business partner and I, we have our business up and we're launching and we have clients. And then I am working also in an organization that's a digital marketing, that's a digital marketing firm as well, or with a technology firm that I get to market and sell their business services.
So you want to have a job and a side hustle? It sounds
Yes, I do. I thought I wanted one of them, but I actually come to accept and clear that I do want both. Yeah, I want both, and I was on the think of like people might judge me because I can only have one. Like, yeah, you can only do one. You're doing. You can't have both. But as I'm talking in conversation with you, and you always just ask me, what do I want?
Yeah.
And the answer, and as I continue to look at my life, and the answer I give you is that I always have wanted this. I've always give you the same answer. Is that I want both.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So what will it take?
What do you mean?
What are the actions? Let's strategize like all the actions you would need to take. I'm just gonna grab a pen.
Okay.
Right. So in order for you to achieve your desired end result, right? Which is side hustle.
Yep.
Or the business partnership that you have with your friend. Right. Independent business with friend.
Yep.
Plus job.
Yes.
With a marketing company.
Yes. Or in the marketing department that works too.
Okay, marketing company or department. Okay. Let's pick one for now, so that we can really be focused.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which of these end results really call out to you?
The side hustle.
Okay, so side hustle. Why?
It just really excites me when I get to create that side hustle. I get to take an idea and really like look and go through the process to make it real.
Yeah. So there's this, it's a creative, it's a very creative endeavor for you.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And I hear the emotion that drives you is excitement.
Yes.
Where do you feel this excitement in your body when you think about creating this side hustle?
First in my stomach, and then in my heart.
Yeah.
And then in my head.
Oh, wow. So it's like, it's almost like a sprouting. Yeah.
Yes.
What color would you give this emotion?
The color I see right now is like bright yellowish and orange. Like yellowish orange. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it soft? Is it hard?
I would say it's soft. Yeah.
Soft. Yeah. Now, if it had a voice, this sprouting, you know, yellow, orange, soft energy that's inside of you, if it had a voice, what would it say?
I haven't thought about that. Give me a second here. What would it say?
Yeah.
It would say, awesome job, gang.
Awesome job. Awesome job. Nice. It's a voice of encouragement.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Awesome job. Okay. And does that thought, Awesome job, Yang. Does that create excitement for you?
Yes, it does.
Okay, just wanted to double check. Okay, so from this place of excitement, what are the action steps that's going to help you bridge, you know, you to creating and making this a possibility, the side hustle?
So what I see of actions, what I saw, some action steps I'm seeing right now is getting a concrete, building a concrete business plan.
Okay.
Particularly and how we are going to provide this service to our clients.
Yeah.
And getting a concrete focus on the type of clients we're going to be serving.
Mm-hmm.
And then starting to reach out to them and having discussions with them and what their needs are.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of worried about competitors, but not really worried about competitors. Being aware of it, but not focusing too much on, or not worrying too much about their success, what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But really focusing on what we want to do for the clients that we have identified.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so focus on serving
mm-hmm.
target market.
Yes, defining a target market.
Yeah. What else?
Building the template, a process of the template, the service we're going to provide, so we can speed up the process in returning what we promised them, delivering that to them.
Okay. So can this excitement, the specific emotion that you identified, will this create the fuel as you create a business plan, focus on clients, discuss with potential clients, and serve with clients?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Is there anything else?
I say yes because it's interesting as you're asking me this now that when I'm excited, like I was just envisioning me sitting in, right now I'm envisioning myself reach out to clients who have conversations with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I felt a sense of nervousness.
Just
And I'm like, and then I'm like, oh wait, but I'm excited.
Yeah.
And then I saw a different action. It's where that it's okay. Like, oh, I'm excited. And it's okay to have that conversation with them.
Yeah.
So that was interesting.
Can I offer you something?
Yes.
It's also okay to feel nervous.
You always, sounds good. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, we have this, like when I ask you this question, what comes to mind? What is the goal of your life?
The goal of my life is really just to be free.
To be free.
Yeah.
Okay.
To just really be free.
All right. Some people say the goal of their life is to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That too, yeah.
Okay. But in reality, you know, we have a balance of human emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is yin and there's yang. Are you familiar mm-hmm. with that concept?
I feel like I heard about it, but not very familiar with it.
Basically, I'm not here to talk to you about yin and yang. What I'm trying to tell you is that half mm-hmm. the time, you're going to feel great.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to feel positive emotions, mm-hmm. like joy, appreciation, excitement, mm-hmm. motivation. Happy. Mm-hmm. But half the time, we're not going to feel great.
Mm-hmm.
We will feel negative emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this 50-50, right? Half the time good, half the time negative, that mm-hmm. makes up the whole of human experience.
Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And especially when you set yourself up to a really ambitious goal, an awesome goal, mm-hmm. like creating a business.
Mm-hmm.
Once you set that goal, like your itty bitty shitty committee will have a field day.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, maybe you heard it.
Yep.
In a flicker when you said, you know, I just got a little nervous.
Yeah.
What did the itty bitty shitty committee say to you when you thought about going to talk to your clients?
It says you can't do it. You don't have the ability and you don't have the credibility to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you want to say to those voices?
Thank you for being there. And I am excited for this opportunity and I'm going to go forward with it.
Wow. Yeah, we've had this conversation. We've coached around this topic.
Yes.
Yeah. And so what you're doing is you're like, I see you. I see you.
Yeah.
But I am going to decide with my elevated brain,
right?
Not the itty bitty shitty committee, primitive or animal brain. I'm going to decide with my human brain. I'm going to do it anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So what you're doing, what you're demonstrating for us is acknowledging and allowing for that nervousness to be there.
Mm.
And not react to it, not give in to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, not believe and indulge in the itty-bitty, shitty committee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. Now that you said it, it's amazing how I don't indulge it for a long time. I feel like my transition or that thought transitioned faster versus me getting stuck in that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Out of that. Yeah.
Okay. So what are you observing when you acknowledge and you notice and then shift yourself away from you know, the fixed mindset that says you can't do it.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that and I observed, like, it's such a quick transition. I don't know how, I guess my question is how long should I be in that state of observing that? Because how long? Is it like a quick flick or is it like I sit in there for a minute and then I move to the next, to my feeling that I want?
There is no right or wrong answer here. You know, like I said, you can't be wrong, but here's how you know that you didn't allow it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You avoid taking the action.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or you end up resisting and what I would call buffer by doing things that are either avoiding brave action, accommodating, or like you have a sense of resentment and you indulge in that, or you look for an escape route. So what do? When you look for an escape route?
When I indulge in that, that mindset where I'm going to do an escape route, I get really tired.
Mm-hmm.
I get really exhausted, just really exhausted in the conversation. And I lose energy and I lose, I'm not even listening to what the person is saying. I'm thinking about something else.
Mm.
And I, for some reason, I keep wanting to leave the conversation. Like I'm sitting down, but my mind and my head, like in my heart, wants to like just get up and go.
Okay, so I just want to make the distinction that what you've shared with me are the signs that you have the urge.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that you are giving into the urge, right? You might feel a little bit more tired because, you know, it takes effort from your brain, from your higher brain, just observe that inclination.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just observing the temptation to leave.
Yes.
So that's not you escaping. That's just you observing the temptation to leave.
Okay. Thank you for correcting that. So that I don't have the misconception of like the wrong idea about escaping. Then the other thing I used to do was I just stopped like talking.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just stopped talking. I just stopped talking. Like, oh, like this is not going to go anywhere. What's the point of talking about? Then I just stopped talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I start agreeing with them. Like, oh yeah, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I become upset or sad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you withdraw.
Yes, I withdraw. Yep.
And I wanna make the clarification that you're withdrawing because of a thought in your mind. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's something that the itty bitty shitty committee is saying.
Yep.
Yeah. What are they saying when you decide to withdraw?
It says it's not gonna work out.
It's not gonna work out. And when you believe that thought, it's not gonna work out.
Yep.
I heard you say that you feel sad.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I feel sad.
And then as a result, you leave or you withdraw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when you leave or withdraw the conversation, what happens?
If I'm still there and we're still having a conversation, and I withdraw like mentally, I get irritated by what they're saying, and I get upset and resentful about what they're saying.
So can you give me a specific situation or an example of when this happened?
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Yeah. So, well, the example I would give is when I was having conversations with my brother over Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Yeah, and we got into a heated argument.
Mm-hmm.
And where I withdrew from what he was saying to me.
Yeah.
And I got upset at him and I got irritated by what he's saying. And I just start yelling at him and making him wrong.
Okay. So the circumstance is brother.
Yes.
And so I'm going to walk you through the five things that we reviewed at the beginning of this call, right?
Yes.
Circumstance is your brother. And with your brother, you had the thought, which is the second item. This is not going to work.
Yes. Yep.
This conversation is not going to work.
Yes.
And when you believe the thought, when you entertain the thought, you felt sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you had the urge to withdraw.
Mm-hmm.
Which you did.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, which you did. And the result that you created was resentment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So in the context of what we've been talking about, right? We're talking about the balance of emotions, and this is important because emotions drive your actions. Mm-hmm. And what I heard from you is that you want to take inspired action towards your goals.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
So the thing that you're learning to do right now is that when you have the thought that it's not gonna work out, and you feel triggered to take this negative action of withdrawing, instead of taking the action, you just observe. You just allow the feeling of sadness. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the model would be, you know, you have a conversation with brother or, you know, this can be anyone really, right? This can be your potential client. This can be a negotiation. And you may have the thought that it's not going to work out. And you can feel the emotion of sadness. And instead of withdrawing, you just allow.
It's I would say it's hard to sit in that sadness, I would say. And I'm working on, yes, I'm working on that for sure.
Yeah. What does this sadness feel like?
Sadness feels like I am going to do something that's going to ruin me and him.
So that's a thought. Right? Another thought that triggers the feeling of sadness.
Got it. So, yep. So sadness then feels it's just like a heavy feeling in my heart. Yeah. Like a heavy feeling in my heart. And then, just that, like a heavy feeling in my heart.
It's a heavy feeling in your heart.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's vibration. Emotions are vibration in the body. So, what's so difficult, what's so wrong with allowing and feeling the sad?
Because I'm going to cry
in front of him,
and I don't want to cry. I guess I don't want to show that I'm weak or something. And he's my older brother too, so I guess being the younger one, I don't want to show him that I'm weak.
So, what I'm observing is that it's because you have other thoughts about what it means to be sad. That to be sad is to be weak. Now, is that true?
No, it's not true.
It's a thought, right? Yeah, it's another thought. What if there's nothing wrong with feeling sad?
If there's nothing wrong with feeling sad.
Yeah, remember we talked about the 50-50 of human emotions, right? People think we all have to be happy, but in reality, the human experience is that half the time we're going to feel great, half the time we're going to feel crappy. And the more we avoid feeling crappy, the crappier things get. Because we take negative action to avoid feeling sad, feeling shame, feeling guilt.
Yeah, you're right. You're correct in that there is nothing wrong with feeling sad.
Yeah.
As I think about it now, if I sit in that sadness, I saw a glimpse of if I were to sit in my sadness with my brother.
Yeah.
It would actually connect me with him. I actually be connected to my love with him. And interestingly, when I sat in that sadness, I felt love, my love for him. Yeah. So that's interesting. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So if you allowed yourself to feel sad with your brother, instead of leaving or withdrawing, what I'm hearing is that it would actually help you connect you to the love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's connect this back to the ambitious goal that you have. We were talking about how you want to create this awesome side hustle. And in order for you to do that, you need to create a business plan, focus on clients, discuss things with clients, and serve those clients. And you identified that the key emotional driver, the fuel that will help you take these audacious actions is excitement. So let me throw a curveball in here.
All right.
Might it also help for you to intentionally feel sadness?
Yeah. Yes.
Why?
When you were making the list of the actions that I'm going to be taking.
Yeah.
And I saw a sadness I saw excitement, and when you offered the sadness, what I saw is my love for them. And I could then really, instead of seeing them as coming at me a complaint of being irritating, I saw that there is a concern that they have. And through my love for them and that sadness I'm able to listen and address what they have going on and what they're really working with and what they're really dealing with.
So being able to feel sad connects you to empathy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And be able to deal with the concern that they have or whatever that they have. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Two things come to mind. First is that when I asked you, what is the key emotion you want to feel about your job, about your career development, you identified love. So that's another recurring theme here. Yeah. And what I'm learning from you today, Yang, is that to feel love is not all daisies and rainbows.
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
To feel love is to feel the ache as well.
Yeah. I didn't know there was also love. Yeah.
Right. I also do want to make a distinction here, because some of my clients have made this confusion. I think some people have confusion about what it means to have empathy. So I don't know if you have this confusion, but I just want to clarify with, that to feel empathy doesn't necessarily mean that you feel bad for other people. I mean, you can feel sad. You can feel sadly because there's a thought in your mind. But it's not possible for you to feel something for somebody else. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah, because other people feel what they feel because of what's in their heads.
Yes.
Yeah. Just wanted to make sure that was clear.
Yeah, thank you for claiming that too, because I didn't think like that about empathy, but I could see that I used to have that thought too. Yeah. But now as you and I are working our coaching, and I'm seeing things, new perspective. When I heard sympathy, I thought of what you said was sympathy is in discovering what the other person.
Plus. Sympathy and empathy, very different.
Sorry. Empathy, yes, my bad. Okay, yes.
Empathy is your ability to imagine what other people think, feel, and experience. Sympathy is something different. Sympathy is when you do you know, extend your condolences for somebody who's going through something different, right? Anyways, you were saying something. Go ahead.
Yes. Thank you for correcting me. Empathy. Correct. When you say empathy, what I saw now is exactly what you were saying, is that it's in my love and discovering with them what their thoughts are and what they're feeling around what we're doing together versus what I think they know or what I think they feel.
And what would it take for you to learn more about what other people think, feel, and do?
Ask questions.
Curiosity.
Yes, curiosity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
And being curious and really sitting and all the feeling that I have with them.
Mm.
Yeah.
I remember that earlier in this call when I asked you, what is your goal? And you said to be free.
Yeah.
Yep. And I want to invite you to be free to feel all the emotions.
Interesting. Free is to feel all of it. It's not to feel some.
Yeah, because, you know, we talked about, you know, I drew a diagram. I don't know, my notes are a little messy, but you see there, half the time we're going to feel great, half the time we're not going to feel great.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the whole thing is the human experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So what I learned from you today is that to feel some of that ache, that sadness,
mm-hmm.
you know, that many people avoid feeling mm-hmm. is actually something that will connect you to love,
mm-hmm.
which is what drives you.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you for volunteering for this really brave coaching session with an audience. Does anyone else have a question? I'm just going to open it up. If you do, feel free to type it into the Q&A box. It's at the bottom of your screen. And if not, I just really want to thank you, Yang, for being so generous with your time, your attention, your focus, with your learnings.
Yes, you're welcome. Yeah. And I really enjoy it. Thank you for this opportunity, too.
Yeah. I think, I know that you already are setting a powerful example of what it means for the rest of us to be free. And you're setting a powerful example of how to show up in the world so that you can serve and benefit. Because people who are watching this, people who will watch this, will benefit from having learned from your experience.
Thank you. Thank you for helping me make a difference.
All right. My pleasure. All right. Okay. Well, I am going to put you as an attendee, and I want to say thank you, everyone else who joined this webinar. It's been my awesome privilege and honor to deliver this content to you. I believe that when we show up to be bolder, to be braver, not only can we become better paid, we can benefit those around us. And I think Yang has set a really wonderful example of how to do that. And it starts from allowing ourselves the freedom to feel all the feelings. And this is important because our feelings drive our actions, and we want to take positive action towards our goals. And my goal is to serve you and to help you achieve your goals. So if you want to learn more about my services, about the programs that I offer, I have one small group program that I'm offering starting next year, come to jamieleecoach.com. And I will have the replay link up shortly and share it with the rest of the people who are on my newsletter list. And if you want to join that, again, come to jamieleecoach.com. Thank you and have a blessed day. Bye.